Good morning, Grace Halls. It is so good to be with you. For those who don't know, my name is Vivica Davey, and I live here in the community with my husband, James, and I serve Ananda through directing our yoga center, and I'm a co-director of our Ananda Bay Area School of Yoga and Meditation. And that school teaches, provides trainings for yoga and meditation and yogic philosophy. So it's very beautiful to be with all of you today. And this is such a lovely subject, this theme of intuition versus reason. I've been reflecting deeply on it and reading Master's teachings and Swamiji's commentary. And I had this moment where I remembered a experience I had with my husband James for one of our yoga teacher trainings. It might have been our first one we were doing. And the night before a particular session, I had everything spread out, like just so many books and pages. And James was heading to bed and he just said, you know, remember not to cram for what you already know. And it was just this beautiful voice of God speaking to me, like, you know, you need to let it go. You know enough and it's okay. And our practice with yoga is to be a channel, right? To be a channel. So I do tend to prepare and read a lot, and it helps me. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. But as I was preparing so many different stories of intuition, my own experience, those of others, I realized I had way more than I could possibly say. So then I needed to surrender too and say, okay, well, whatever is there, you know, let it bubble up, let it be the thing. I was reminded of a beautiful story that Helen shared about intuition. And part of what I love in these stories is, for me, they provide a very clear experience of how it can happen and how do we relate to it and what does it look like, intuition, intuitive guidance. And she was sharing a story of being at the meditation retreat, going out for a morning walk, and hearing, just kind of feeling within herself, take the larger water bottle. The larger water bottle was more than she needed. It was a hot day. Why take that? But something, you know, allowed her to follow that. Okay, I'll take the larger bottle, which I can relate to in walking. It's not easy to take the heavier thing if you don't feel like you need it. She took it and went on her walk. And at a certain point, you know, up on this hill, you know, just appreciating the vista, she hears this rustling in these bushes and like, what is happening? And suddenly a friend, a member of Ananda community, comes out of the bushes. He'd been hiking and gotten way off track, and it was very, very hot, and he was, you know, really dehydrated, and came out of the bushes and, give me that, right? She had this big bottle of water, like, it's yours, right? And I just love that story, because reason wouldn't have allowed the response, right? And I notice in my own life how that happens. I'll feel the guidance, and it doesn't match up with reason. And one of our students, we have an intuitive counseling training, and we had a beautiful conversation with the group about intuition. How do you experience it? What, you know, what happens when you say yes? What happens if you say no? Because each is a teaching, right, that provides. And one student was saying how, you know, as a craftsman and tradesman, you know, and builder, he would have the experience of a tool would stand out to him as he'd get ready to leave, and he'd think, why that tool? I mean, it didn't make any sense for the day. But all right, so, you know, he had the experience of not taking it, needing it, taking it, there it is, you need it. And then just, it's become his practice, right? This has become his way of pay attention to that. Right? Don't try to figure it out. And I was reading the commentary on this reading that Swami gave, and he was saying the difficulty, you know, the challenge and problem with trying to garner understanding through reason is that reason is always based on what has been. So it's always, you can't have an original understanding with reason. It won't lead you to a new insight and a new revelation, because it takes what has been and, you know, kind of puts it together, and it sounds awfully good, but it won't lead us to intuitive understanding. Yogananda called intuition as the voice of God in our own heart. So all of our yoga practices are guiding us and helping us to cultivate this. I remember Asha telling the story that, you know, she felt, as a teacher, she felt uncomfortable teaching intuition because it's so easy to get it wrong. And she was just telling the story in herself where she said to Swamiji, "I'm not teaching that anymore." And people just get it wrong. And he corrected her and said, "You must teach this. You must." Like, yes, we can get it wrong. But keep going. Persevere. You know, test it out. And I love in the reading it said today, you know, start with small things. And that's better. You know, things aren't so much at risk, right? Into the biggest life decision. Let me try to answer that intuitively. Well, ultimately, we want to bring intuition in. But, you know, one of my very light practices is when I drive. And so I'll offer, which lane should I be in? And for me, what's interesting is it never makes sense. And so sometimes my reason just can't let me do it. It's like, this is the wrong lane. It must be the wrong lane. And then I just watch how, no, yeah, I was guided rightly. It was better. I also know it isn't always about how quickly I get somewhere, right? So that's what my reason will say. Well, this doesn't seem like the fastest lane. It's like, well, it might not be. It may not be the fastest lane. What do I know about why this lane is a better lane? And there's so many beautiful stories. Asha has a book of, cared for, what is it? Loved and protected, these beautiful stories of miracles where people were guided, right? I mean, things happened. And I draw so much strength from them, so much strength. It helps me because there's a vulnerability in intuition. There's a vulnerability in letting go of reason. I can't explain. One of my favorite things to do is ask people how they found Ananda. What led you here? I've never heard reason in it. I've never heard reason in it. And I just love to watch, like, well, this happened and this happened. And how each person, which I can relate to, is, I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why. But something was saying go. Right? And then, as Asha spoke so beautifully about last week, we begin to have an inner experience that we can count on. It's a stability, an inner stability. And this song, Go On Alone, that Swamiji wrote, and the choir sings so beautifully today, you know, go on alone. Because of part of what it's saying is that there are times when others don't understand and they won't go with you. And I know in the spiritual journey, and that can be hard. It was hard for me to be able to say, well, this is my path. It's what's right for me. It's what I need to do. And that's difficult when I can't explain it. And, you know, I've had the experience of others wanting, well, could you explain it? And I'd love to, right? I'd love to explain it. But so much of my experience with intuition is I can't. The best I can do is say, I've done my practices. And in yoga, we have so many beautiful practices of prayer and meditation and kirtan and satsang and yoga postures, which I know about. All these practices help us to cultivate inner communion. And then there's this deep personal experience between ourself and the divine, where we say it's the best understanding I have. This is the clearest I can be. And there's a beautiful book that Swami wrote about intuition. I believe it's Intuition for Starters, and he highlights three components that we can, you know, look for in true intuition. One is joy, the other is clarity, and the third is calmness. And so I find that very, very helpful, and it's been my experience that intuition is clear. It often doesn't make sense, but it's clear, and it's calm. There's no agitation in it. And there is a sense of, because I think it's so quiet and inward, joy, right? And he says that if you feel excitement, it's not an indication of intuition. So excitement, I remember teaching one time, and one of the students was saying, but excitement is so great. And I laughed with him and said, it is. I mean, it's fun. It's just not intuition. Right? So, yeah, Swami wasn't saying don't ever be excited, although the yogic path is one of calmness. It is dynamic calmness. And that is such a beautiful thing. So two stories that stood out for me in my own journey. One, you know, kind of more weighty, I would say, and the other very light. So the weighty story that stood out experience came from intuitive guidance I received around reading the Bible. And so I had gone through this period in my 20s where I had what I would call, and these are Yogananda's words, a divine romance with the Bible, where it was my primary sadhana, as I would go and I would open it and I would read and I would feel such clarity, insight, guidance, that was, you know, very helpful for me in my journey. And I love now, it's not my primary sadhana, but when, and as I was preparing, because a story came to mind, so I went and I have two, and I pulled them out and they're just very well worn with lots of highlights and post-its, and it's tender for me. It's because it's what, this divine romance, right? To cultivate a relationship that's very personal with the divine. So I was going through a difficult time and I wasn't understanding it. And I was, you know, feeling like, why is this difficult time happening? And part of what I was struggling with was feeling like I must be off course somehow. I must have done something. I mean, I just didn't make any sense. It seemed like I was doing everything right and life was so hard. I'm reminded now of Jyotishin Devi saying, you know, we step on the spiritual path and there's this feeling that the path will be strewn with roses and everything easy will come. And I mean, sometimes it happens, but it doesn't happen just as often, and maybe more, I don't know. It depends on our journey, right? So the story of Job came to me and I read it, right? And it's for those who know it, it's a heavy story. And there are these beautiful, amazing pieces in it. So one of them is at the beginning of the story, God calls together his council, the sons of God. And with them is Satan. And I was like, what? And so God says to Satan, you know, what have you been doing? Oh, I've been walking the earth. I've been walking the earth. Oh, have you seen my good servant Job? Yes. Yeah, Satan wasn't very impressed. And God said he's so faithful and loyal and dedicated. And it starts also in there that Job was blameless and sinless. Right? And Satan said, well, you've given him everything. Right? Because Job had everything. He had a wonderful family and lots of possessions. And he said, well, why wouldn't he be faithful? He isn't really tested. You know, if you let me test him, you know, then we'll see. So God said, very well, you may test him. Don't harm his life, but you may test him. So time goes, right? It doesn't say how long. Then there's a council gathering. Satan comes. God says, have you seen my good servant Job? I have. Still not very impressed. Satan had taken away, and it goes in succession, right? So all possessions, you know, later health, family, each time, right? Satan's saying, well, yeah, but he still has. Okay, I took all his possessions. He's still faithful. He still has his family. Okay, doesn't have that, but he still has his health, right? And you're just reading along. Well, in the middle section, and Job continues to be faithful, but he does not understand what's happening. It's very confusing. Why are all these things happening? This is the Old Testament. And Asha was saying last week that the Old Testament, God was really looked upon as judge. Right? So there's laws and obedience, and you follow them and good happens. And if you follow them and good doesn't happen, what's happening? So there's this long section then where he basically is on trial, and other people who are his friends just are convinced he's done something terribly wrong. You must have broken some rules here. Come on. Everything is gone. And to me, when I was reading it, I just felt such a sense of the confusion of when you feel like you're doing everything right and then you can't explain why these things are happening. And his friends were saying, obviously God's punishing you. You're obviously being punished. And that's what I felt. I'm obviously being punished. Well, towards the very end of the story, and that's a hard time when the friends fall away. Gosh, he lost everything. And then his friends, who are also spiritual, are just saying, yeah, I don't know. I know you think you're doing everything right, but we don't see it. So at the end, Job, in exhaustion, goes to God. And he's feeling this burden of, why am I being punished? Everyone's so convinced I'm being punished, and I don't understand it. And God comes to him and speaks to him, and it's not soft. It's not like a blanket of Divine Mother, and it's bold and big and challenging, and God saying, who are you to think you understand my reasoning? He didn't say reasoning, but my ways, right? Who made the oceans? Who made the mountains? Who made the sky? Who has lightning? And this dialogue where Job realizes, yeah, I didn't make any of those things, right? And God is saying, because in the story that we get to know by reading it, he's not being punished, right? And he doesn't understand the ways. He doesn't understand them. And so God's saying, can you be faithful to me when your life makes no sense to you? When everyone's abandoned you, when everything to all outside circumstances, can you trust what you know? Me, right? Me. I'm yours. Am I yours? Right? And Job says, you are. He doesn't get an explanation, which I know at that time in my life I was wanting, right? Could I, lots of prayer, lots of devotion, lots of, could I please get an answer? No. Well, I'll give you an answer. Trust me. Can you trust me? Okay. Job does. And the beauty, of that story is the wealth that comes back to him. God also corrects his friends. but the point of it is that, sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes it looks like that. And I was comforted by that story. I did feel like, okay, I was being given a teaching that helped me hold on. It helped me stay faithful. And it's continued to serve me in my life, right? It's there. So I was reminded of it, like, oh, Job. And I was telling James that and many years later, at a challenging time, it came back to me. And it came back to me because I was by myself and I heard myself say, I feel like Job, right? It just kind of came out, I feel like Job, like, my gosh, everything. And I heard within me, and what is the story of Job? What is the story of Job, right? And I went back, and it offered me the same thing. Like, oh, right, okay. Sometimes the path is difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. And it's very helpful to have divine counsel, to have friends, to have guru bhais, all these tools and practices. And there's a quality of what we talk about in the festival of inner communion that's required to go where we need to go, that no one else outside can affirm that, can guarantee it. It's an inner understanding, and it's brave and courageous and worthwhile. And I draw a lot of strength from my friends who are doing this, because it's hard to do alone. We talk about the power of community, and I call upon it all the time, that okay, I watch others do that, and I know I still have to do it, right? It's my turn, like, okay, say yes. So that story came to me, and the lighter story is this was just a few years ago. I was driving, going somewhere, and I had my GPS plugged into wherever I was going, and as I was driving there, I remembered an errand, like, oh, that's right, I was gonna do that, whatever it was. And so I thought, well, I'll get off, at the next, and I'll go do that errand. I have time. It'll work. But because I was driving, I didn't want to play with the GPS. I didn't want to do that while I was driving. So I turned off, and the GPS is like, what are you doing, right? Like, this isn't the plan. This isn't what I told you to do. So I notice it, right? It's trying to correct me. And I head to my little errand. And each as I go, every... 20 feet or so, it's trying to say, I would turn around, like, okay, take this street. And I just started laughing, like, wow, who knew there were that many ways to get there? Like, there's a lot of ways to get to that destination, not just the first one. So I run in, I get my errand, you know, I get my thing and I drive, and I hadn't changed the GPS. I thought, I go, well, why change it? Because now I actually do want to go there. It'll help me. And I just had this moment of, you know, that's like God. I was like, oh, that's just like God, right? Like you ask, you pray for guidance, I would do this. And somehow you think, you know, I think, thanks. Thanks for that. I think I'll go this way instead. Like, okay, but you know, if you're still wanting that destination, at the next turn, like the next opportunity, I take this. Oh, okay, yeah, not quite yet. I think, and it just was this beautiful, comforting, humorous way of feeling like, and I was telling a friend, and they said, God positioning system. And I'm like, I go, oh, that's so perfect. It just feels like that. And I love the humor of it. I love the lightness of it and the reassurance of it. Right, that will be corrected. I will be. And Swami talks about we need to put energy out. And it can be scary. Because, well, what if I'm not being guided? What if it's the wrong thing? We'll get another message. Like, and that's just been my experience. It will get correction. Right? A friend, a book, or something will happen like, oh, wait, am I really listening? Right? And so the abundance of that correction, of that guidance, of that support is very comforting to me. And still I find there's that moment, take a breath and step, right? Take a breath and step. And if I stay open and I keep listening, then there's every confidence that we'll know what we need to know, right? We'll know it. And that's the gift of intuition.
Oh,